Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Bringing it home, last hour of the week. I am Jim Rome. We are live in Atlanta. Not in the Quicken Loan studios where I normally am in Southern California, but in the ATL. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It is our last hour. I've been saying it all week long. One of my favorite things about the row is getting caught up with old friends, people who have come on the program, but I get to see them in person. I don't want to date either one of us, but, man, I've been doing this a long time with this guy. Let me give you his resume, and you tell me who you think it is.
Oh, my God.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. Named first-team All-Pro 11 straight years. 1,549 career receptions. 22,895 receiving yards. 208 total TDs. Do you need more? 14 1,000-yard seasons. A member of the 80s All-Decade Team, a member of the 90s All-Decade Team, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and appearing courtesy of Hennessy. If you guessed Jerry Rice, you nailed it. Jerry, what's up?
That is crazy.
What's up?
14?
14, man. 14 1,000-yard seasons. Don't act like you didn't know that, Jerry.
No, no, I really did.
Come on, man.
No.
Seriously. You know you played for the 49ers, right?
Yes, I know that.
Just checking.
Yeah. I'm still a very smart guy here, okay?
Yeah, you are, man. You always were.
Yeah.
Since you're so smart, help me understand this, man. How is time spinning faster and faster and faster, and how do we slow it down?
I don't know. We need to find a way to try to slow this down a little bit because I remember Super Bowl 23. Now we are Super Bowl 53.
Right.
Wow.
All right, so
time just flew by.
When you think Super Bowl 23, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
How nervous, how scared. The night before, I couldn't sleep. Staying up all night long, visualizing the game. The long day leading up to the game. And then just going out playing my best football.
Excuse me. You know, I used to talk to Joe about this quite a bit, Joe Montana. There's something to be said about playing your best football in the biggest game of your life, playing your best on the biggest stage. And I used to say to him, and you and I have talked about it too, I think, can you consciously dial up your best when it matters most?
Yeah, when everything is on the line. And I knew the importance of for me to have a good game. And I remember being on that football field, doing that last 3 minutes, 10 seconds, where we had to move the ball over 80 yards downfield and win that football game. The execution, being precise on my routes, making the catch. And when John Taylor scored that game winner, all of a sudden I heard the crowd. So I enjoy being on that stage. You look at Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, all the great players who have played on that big stage. That is something that we look forward to.
They want that big stage.
Oh, yeah.
They want that moment. But the fact is, not everybody does. I mean, I don't want to throw any shade at anybody who's good enough to get there, but you look back on your career, did everybody you played with want that big stage, that pressure?
I to be honest with you, I think the guys that I lined up with, yes. Because if you doubled me, John Taylor was going to kill you. Brent Jones was going to kill you. Roger Craig, all the guys, you know, Joe Montana. So I think that's why we were so successful and we won so many Super Bowls. But being that guy that really wants to be in that position, you got to be able to deal with the criticism if you don't make that play. So I was one of those guys, and I think I was very fortunate because I was able to make those incredible plays.
Jerry Rice is my guest. You know, you mentioned that drive, and you thought about you had to be so precise. You had to be so technical. So what makes a great wide receiver? Is it about natural talent, or is it about doing the work on all the little things, the route running, the footwork, the body control, things like that?
I never thought I had natural talent. I never thought I was the most gifted athlete. The thing I was going to do, I was going to outwork you. And I think I got that from my parents and not, you know, taking any shortcuts or anything like that and earning everything. So running routes, I used to watch Steve Largent. I used to watch Dwight Clark, Drew Pearson, Tony Hill, Lance Wan, John Stallworth, all those guys. And I like to think of myself as being a mixture of all those guys, being able to run good routes, get separation, then catch the football.
We're talking to Jerry Rice. You know, I love when I talk to great receivers and great DBs, I like to talk about the great one-on-one battles.
Oh, yes.
That guys had. As you look back on your career, who were the cornerbacks that gave you the toughest battles?
Dale Green, Deion Sanders. Fast. So my thing is, it's like when you got fast guys like that, you have to come to the line. You have to be the aggressor. You got to have a game plan. If you come to the line and you don't have a plan, you're going to end up losing that battle. My thing, when you got fast guys like that, you got to double move, triple move those guys and try to get them off their base and hope that the quarterback throws the ball on time. Because when they're your fast guys like that, if you just take off running, they know that you can't outrun them.
So it wasn't the physical guys. It was not the guys jamming you up at the line of scrimmage. It was the fast guys, guys.
I'd rather have a physical guy anytime. Because now my thing is when I come to the line, I'm going to try to make myself look as skinny as possible when I release. I'm not going to open, or come off the ball with my chest wide open. So my base, everything is low, and I try to make myself look as small as possible.
Jerry Rice joining me. So looking back, who are the more physical corners back in the day? The game's different now, but back then, who are the more physical guys you went up against?
I think guys played me a little different because they knew I was very good at, defeating bump and run.
Right.
So, yeah, they knew if they took a shot at me and tried to be real physical at the line of scrimmage with me, and if I got by them, then, that I was going
to
score a touchdown.
That played to your strength. Right.
Yeah, it played into my – but Bill Walsh, he would always take us back to fundamentals. I think you don't see a lot of that today because you don't see that bump and run.
Right.
You know, it's like, that's just like with Elliman. You're going to play him about 5 yards off and you expect to cover him? You're going to play Grunk about 5 yards off? No way. So these guys today, it's not about that tough bump and run and being elusive at the line of scrimmage.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Edelman. You talked to The Athletic about him recently, but I want to ask you about your take on him. When you look at him, kind of like his vibe, his attitude, his swagger, the way he goes about his business, do you like what you see?
I love it.
Tell me.
He wants that ball. And he's saying to you, hey, do you seriously think you're going to stop me, on that given day? And you talk about the Patriots not having a go-to guy. He's that go-to guy. You got to stop him if you have a chance of winning this football. And also you got to stop Tom Brady. You got to stop Gronk, and you got to stop that running game. So it's going to be up to Donald and also Sue and that, that defensive secondary to try to eliminate the big plays. But once those guys get the ball, you can't let them get those yards after yak.
Jerry Rice, my guest. I'm not looking for any kind of lava or fire take, but I am really curious about this. Tom Brady's got five. He's trying to get six.
Yeah.
Joe's got his four.
Yeah.
I think if Joe were to answer honestly, Joe's proud now. Joe's proud. Joe would remind you, man, I never lost a Super Bowl. Jerry, you tell me. You played with Joe. You know the game. You're watching Tom. Who's the GOAT?
I think there's a fraternity of GOATs. I think in football you're going to see that. Whole different era. You got the run pass option now. Joe played in an era where it was totally different. So, you might see it in football. You see it in basketball because you hear about this LeBron James all the time and Michael Jordan. But you're going to see it in all sports, and you're going to see it also, like with doctors and lawyers. And these guys, what they're doing today, seriously, and you got to give it to the organization of the Patriots and stuff like that to be able to be there so many times. I mean, it's something that we never thought would happen, but it's great to see. But, yeah, there's a fraternity of GOATs.
So I wonder if maybe it's like a generational thing. You can't really compare guys.
No,
because you and I are coming from the same kind of place, the place being that there's no discussion. It's Joe. It's just Joe. Like in basketball, there's no discussion. It's just Mike. It's just Mike. But there is a discussion.
There's a different
era. Yeah. There's Kobe. There's LeBron.
Right.
There are different eras. So to me, it seems like a cop-out not to pick a guy, but I kind of tend to go the other way. It's generational. It's hard to measure guys across different generations.
Yeah, and I got asked. I said, they asked me, they said, what would you do in this era? I said,
What would you do in this era? I read your stats at the top. What would you do today?
I think I enjoyed the era that I played in.
Really?
I really did. And I know the game, it was crazy. And if the ball was being thrown to the right side and I was backside, I was getting hit. But I just knew that was part of it.
Jerry, but right now you could go right over the middle and not worry about a single thing.
Yeah. I know. I just wanted to earn everything. That was important to me.
It's the Jerry Rice way.
Yeah.
All right, so you're working with Hennessy,
baby.
What are you doing with Hennessy? I can't lie to you, man. When I saw that, I'm like, that is the best.
And
let
me tell you something, though, man. Hennessy, there's a variety of cognac. Cognac is a brandy. It's made in Cognac, France. Over 250 years, they have celebrated this with their customers. They have that never stop, never settle attitude, and that was something that I did in football. And for the game coming up, the big game, I'm gonna toast my, you know, friends and family. Probably see Hennessy on the rocks or Hennessy XO. The XO is extra old, and I like to think of myself as
like
being
us, man.
That little old,
like
older
us,
guy
bro.
Now.
Like us, we're XOs, man.
Yeah,
so you can OGs, we're XOs.
So you can go to Hennessy.com/US. To get all the details.
Good job, man. Good job.
Thank
Last night, I had Carson Palmer on earlier, and he was pretty upfront about the fact that, man, I'm not playing, so I'm not going to the gym, and I don't miss it. You clearly are still getting after it in the gym.
Yeah.
What is your workout routine like at this point in your life, and what drives you to grind still?
I think it's just in my nature. I have always done this, and I appreciate the time that I put in. And I think it rewards me because, you know, I get this all the time. People say, you still look like you could play. But just doing CrossFit, doing Peloton, stuff like that, keeping myself going.
Are you a Peloton guy?
Oh, yes, I am.
I love my Peloton.
Oh, my God. I ride that thing like crazy.
Which ride? Okay, now, I do 45-minute rides. Joe goes, dude, you're a monster. I can't do that.
I have
what
done
do you
the
do?
Hour, 45, the 30, do it all.
They're fun, right? It's great.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry, so good to see you. We do this every single year at this time. And you did it again, man.
I'll see you next year.
I will see you next year. Hopefully talk before then, though.
Yeah, you get it.
Good to
Thank
see you.
You.
Jerry Rice on the row with Hennessy. Good job, man. So good to see you. So fun. He looks like $1 million. You know that you always have guys ask athletes, hey, man, would you still suit up? Would you want to suit up? He literally looks like he could still suit up. He looks amazing. Amazing. All right, in the home stretch, not done yet, still to come. Got some really good interviews. And I do need to give away a smoker. Jalen Smith, when we come back. Darius Slay, to end the hour. And the best content does get a Masterbuilt smoker. More from the ATL. We are on Radio Row, where we have been the entire week. I'm Jim Rome. Keep it right here.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. All right, coming down to the stretch. This is our last hour of our final program on Radio Row. I'm in Atlanta. Nice to have you here. And again, I'm still trying to give away that smoker really quickly. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. It was awesome. My next guest came onto the set and was hugging it out with Dave Whalen. A couple of Notre Dame guys. Not only Notre Dame guys, but like in the same dorm, right?
Stand for all.
There it is. He is a linebacker for the Cowboys, coming off an amazing season. 121 tackles, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries, and a touchdown this season. He was named the Breakout Player of the Year by Pro Football Focus. A Butkus Award winner in high school and in college. A consensus All-American at Notre Dame. The 34th pick overall in 2016 out of that school. Jalen Smith, my guest. Jalen, it is so good to see you. I saw you a few, well, I had you a few weeks ago on the show, but nice to see you in person, man. How are
Absolutely.
You living? What's up?
Man, I'm super excited, man. Just to be here. I got in last night. Very electrifying. I'm super excited, man. It's a great atmosphere. Super Bowl.
Dude, let me ask you this. I mean, you clearly would rather be playing in the game. I understand that.
Absolutely.
But you are fired up. You're in good spirits.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Atlanta. You know, it's the heart of a lot. You know what I mean? So I got a lot of family out here, family and friends. So I'm definitely going to enjoy myself for sure.
All right, so you had a great year. You led the Cowboys to a divisional title and a playoff win. Man, when you're winning with the Dallas Cowboys, how would you describe that feeling? Is there anything that would compare to that?
Man, there's nothing like when you win, you know, at these high-caliber franchises. You know, it's like Notre Dame, the Yankees, and then America's team, the Cowboys. And I got two of them under my belt. So it's exciting when you win, man. It's different.
My man, I do not want to get on the wrong side of you, but I kind of ripped that America's team thing from you guys, and I gave it to the Browns this year.
Are you serious?
I kind of did, man. Yeah, I got to own that. I got to own that with you right here. I kind of did that.
I'm going to let you have that.
All right, I appreciate you, man. You're a class. All class. Now, you're coming off an amazing season, but as you said yourself, the beauty of the NFL is, and I quote, "The only thing that matters is what you do now." And as a competitor, you love it because you have to go out each and every weekend and prove that you belong. And individually, you're one of the elite, end quote. Can you lay that out for me? What kind of mentality does it require to be a competitor at the highest level every single week and day in and day out?
The mark of greatness is consistency. That's the best way to explain it. You know, anytime that you, whenever you're experiencing highs and lows, you have to stay even keel. You know, whenever you're on a 7-game win streak, you had to keep it going because that next week you could get blown out, you know, 23-0. You know, it's just that's the beauty of this sport, though. It's the last gladiator sport, and I love playing in the National Football League.
And what about that? Do you feel like, I mean, that gladiator mentality? What's it like to put those pads on Sunday? I mean, do you feel like a gladiator? What's it feel like going out there?
I mean, I've been playing since I was 7 years old, so I'm very comfortable in it. I was taught to play it the right way. By my Pop Warner coach Tom Macon. He's a legend in my hometown. But man, I'm just excited. I'm excited to be a part of this this team, this family, and the best has yet to come.
Jalen Smith, my guest. Your journey is amazing too. A few weeks back, the Cowboys tweeted a video of your road back from the knee injury. You and I talked a little bit about that when you were on last month, but there's this amazing moment in the video when you're at the draft party. You get a call from Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. What was the moment like when you saw that caller ID? And then you were talking to Jerry Jones.
Oh, man, I was I was sitting right next to my brother, who at the time was playing for the Cowboys, still plays for him today. He's a free agent now. But and I saw the number, the area code, 214. I'm like, oh, it's the Cowboys, it's the Cowboys. You know, and I answered, and it was Jerry Jones. I'm like, wow, like, I'm going to get to play for America's team. Not only that, I'm going to get to play with my older brother. For the very first time. So it's just a dream come true. Forever thankful.
What was that like? What's it been like playing with your brother?
It's been an amazing experience because we're 3.5 years apart. So it was always like him coming in and me leaving. Then he decided to go to Ohio State, which was his dream college. Then I wanted to take my own path and go to Notre Dame. And it's closer to home because I'm a mama's boy. You know, but right. But for this, for both of our dreams to come true, to play in the National Football League, but on the same team, you know, our parents don't have to, they don't have to, you know, rotate weeks now. It's, you know, it's a one-stop shop. So
what was Notre Dame like?
Man, it's an experience that you have to be there to really understand it and embrace it. But it's a university that it speaks for itself. The class that it comes with, and the rigorous. I didn't make a 4-year decision. I made a 40-year decision.
All right, so now you're not done. Are you going to go back and finish?
Yes, I just enrolled back in school.
Oh, no kidding.
I just enrolled back in school to finish my degree.
Are you doing it online, or are you going to physically show up in the classroom?
No, at Notre Dame, you have to be on campus.
Dude, what's that going to be like?
Oh, man. You know, honestly, the weather is so bad in South Bend right now. They canceled class yesterday and today. So that's right. That's the only reason why I'm here, because they canceled class because it's negative 16 degrees and the wind chill is negative 40. But I'm excited. I'm excited to get my degree.
Yeah, but the sun's going to come out at some point, man. What's it going to be like when you show up and you sit down in the classroom?
No, I've been there for the past 2 years. Yeah. The past 2 weeks, I've been on campus in class.
It feels all normal. No big thing.
It's weird, man. But I got a different perspective now because I left Notre Dame 3 years ago, and you know, it's different going in class. You know, 18 years old, 19 years old, really, really not understanding, you know, time management and things of those natures. You know, now I have a structure put in place. You know, owning my own couple businesses myself, so. It's going to make the process much smoother, but it's very humbling.
You're all grown up, man.
It's humbling, though. It is. It is. Walking 15 minutes to each class.
There's no courtesy ride, man?
Oh, no.
No, you got to do it now.
No, I got a little scooter now. I can afford a scooter, so once the weather gets clean, I'm going to be good.
Jalen Smith joining us. I got to finally ask you, though, about that. Like, why do you go to college? I mean, the real simple answer is to get a good job. Dude, you got the best job ever. Why was it so important to go back and finish?
Man, because it matters, man. I don't look at it as just a piece of paper. It's something that I promised myself what I was going to do. I made a pact to my mother that I was going to go back and finish my degree. And I set myself up to where whenever I came back, I'd only have to one semester left. So I'm excited, man. I just got to embrace it and grind through it.
Joan, you've got this thing, like this it. Like, you've got this unbelievable physical ability that's given, but you have that thing that if you could bottle it, you'd make a whole lot of money. And for you to come back from the knee injury that you came back from, to overcome that, especially when there had to have been so much self-doubt, and a lot of people saying, you know what, man, no matter how much he wants it, he's just not going to be the same, but you are, if not better. How did you will that thing? How did you make that thing what it actually became?
A clear-eyed view, man. A focus.
Explain what that is.
Focus, vision, a determined belief, and earned dreams. You know, a clear-eyed view is something I came up with my sophomore year in college before I got injured. Just thinking about, you know, what defines Jalen Smith and, you know, the platform that we're on to share with, you know, with these peers and these kids, just to understand what I'm about. So a clear-eyed view is a focused vision, being able to identify whatever you want to accomplish in life, right, and being able to see it clearly. And then a determined belief is just a self-belief, a belief in yourself, a belief in God that he has your back throughout that process. And then earned dreams is about how bad do you want it, you know, like what work are you willing to put in to accomplish that goal. So, like, whether you play sports, whether you're, you know, investing in private equity, or whatever, you know, everyone should have a clear-eyed view.
Jalen, quote, what defines Jalen Smith? You were asking yourself that as a college sophomore. That's a pretty heavy question to ask as a college sophomore. Like, why were you asking yourself questions like that age?
I did a SWOT analysis on myself, just, you know, identifying strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And just understanding Jalen as an entity, what am I about, you know, and what do
what
I
that,
possess?
What does that mean, a SWOT analysis?
A SWOT analysis.
What is that?
SWOT.
Uh-huh.
Strength. It's basically you're getting like get a piece of paper and draw four squares. In one square, you got strengths. The next square, you got weaknesses. The next square, you got opportunities. And the next square, you got threats. And all you do is write out, okay, what are my strengths about Jalen Smith? What are my weaknesses? What are my opportunities? And what are my threats? And just helps you get a better grasp and understanding of kind of what you're up against and kind of help you go about that clear-eyed view. Like, one of my threats were getting injured, you know, just from a compensation standpoint. I lost out on, you know, $17-plus million because of that injury. But, you know, I'm a better man.
How does that not mess with your head?
Because it was God-ordained, you know. He humbled me and... not that I was, you know, I was this arrogant person or whatever, but just, you know, in life, we all go through things. We all go through things that motivate us and help us and define us who we are. So with me going through that, you know, on a national, you know, televised stage, it just showed how much it meant more to people that I can come back from it. And it's a great feeling.
It's an amazing story, too, Jalen Smith. Before you go, my first job in life, In-N-Out Burger. 16 years old, In-N-Out Burger. I was not good at that job, man. And even worse, I wanted to be good at that job. And the manager said to me, bro, you're not good at this job. There's no part of this job that you're good at. And the only reason I haven't fired you yet is because you're good at softball and I want to win the league title. I was not good at that, right, dude? I took pride in that work, too. I was not good at it. Dude, you worked at Burger King back in the day.
18 years old.
What do you remember about that?
Matter of fact, I was 17 then.
Were you good at that?
Man, I was legit.
Okay, man, because I was not, apparently.
Employee of the month,
yeah,
man.
I
had a passion for just putting smiles on people's faces.
Yeah,
man.
Dude, I can and see like, that, man.
You know, you get all different type of characteristics of people that come in, mad, angry, sad, pregnant, divorced, whatever. You know, and it's just, you know, they want pleasure. They want great service. And that's something that I was able to give. I wanted to hop on the other side of the spectrum and really learn about what fast food employees go through. So the experience was well for me.
Dude, you got the best attitude ever. Last thought, Sean Lee raves about you and Leighton Vander Esch. She says that he's trying to teach both of you as much as possible. What have you learned from him in your time in Dallas?
Man, Sean Lee, he's a pro's pro. You know, he's a guy that helped me transition into becoming a professional. That may have taken a little bit longer had I had to go through it myself. Along with that, he taught me how to prepare the right way, for a game. And I love him. I love him. He's a brother.
Dallas Cowboy linebacker coming off an amazing year. My man, that was such a great conversation. I appreciate you very much. And thanks for taking time to do that. That was a lot of fun.
Man, you take care, man. I appreciate it, boss.
You too, Jalen. Great seeing you. Be sure to dap up your Notre Dame alumni right there.
Go Irish, baby.
Jalen Smith, Dallas Cowboys linebacker. As amazing off the field as he is on it. What an amazing, amazing personality. Such a great attitude. And he's still hugging it out with Waylon. Like, they literally had never met before, and they're just hugging it out because they lived in the same dorm at Notre Dame. That's rare. Like I said, that's a rare guy. When you see a star, I mean straight up stud like Jalen Smith, and he's got a gigantic smile on his face. And like I said, best attitude ever. All right, we will come back. I've got one last segment for you. I'm still trying to give away the smoker, which I better do next segment. Winding down, I want to thank all the folks here on location, all the camera folks, the sound folks, the makeup folks. It's been an amazing crew to work with this week. Everybody, great job. The best in the business. Dave Whalen is an absolute monster this week on location. And the XR4TI back in Southern California. Here is your... Welcome back. One last segment. We are live at the ATL. Once again on Radio Row all week long. Darius Slay joins me in about 10 seconds. Time to answer your Ask the Pros question really quickly. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This says, Jim, after 5 days on Radio Row, when does your attention go to the pregame show and one of the biggest views from Rome of the season? Does being on TV for a Super Bowl show feel different for you? Do you ever get nervous when you know you're going on live TV in front of 100 million people? Do you have any pre-show rituals to keep you calm? ATP plus smoker, don't mind if I do. War Lady Clones, Leslie in Minnesota. Leslie, I wasn't nervous till you said that. I was fine. Now, you know, we had a production meeting today. We'll have a rehearsal tomorrow. I'll knock it out on Sunday, make it back to Southern California for the Monday show. It's all good, but you, Leslie, win the smoker. Way to knock that out. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a two-time Pro Bowler. He is a cornerback for the Lions. He is an All-Pro, 42 tackles, 17 passes defensed, 3 INTs, and a touchdown this season, 11 interceptions in the past 2 years, tied for most by a cornerback during that time. Played his college ball at Mississippi State, where he was the 36th pick, Darius Slay. Darius, what's going on?
How are you? Man? How you doing?
Good to see you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
All right, well, this is actually your home state. You are from Brunswick, Georgia. So what was it like growing up in Brunswick?
Oh, man, it's bear country. great experience. I love my hometown, small town. And, a lot of people, though, very populated.
All right, so it was country, and it was a small town, but there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you were All-State in high school.
Yeah.
So when did you first start thinking that you could play at the next level and then play at the highest level?
Just going around my competition, playing against some guys that's obviously from Georgia that's in the league right now. I played against Eric Berry in high school, Alan Bailey, Kareem Jackson, all of us. You know, we played against each other, and I've seen them guys develop their game. And I'm like, you know, I'm right up there above them, so right around the area, so I feel like I make it.
So what were you thinking when you're running into guys like that and going up against guys like Kareem Jackson, Eric Berry? I mean, it just seemed like that's the way it is. That's pretty normal. Or did you know there's something going on here? We're all going to be in the NFL one day.
Yeah, that's what the key was. Like, man, we could all meet up one day. So it's a great opportunity for all of us that's been there, done that. So we are here at the top of our game, having fun.
Darius Slay joining us. You know, speaking of playing at the highest level, you went to the Pro Bowl for the second time. You go once, that's great. But how much better does it feel to make it back a second time? Especially when teams are not throwing your way the way they were before.
Right. It was great, man. Somebody always told me that you got to go do it twice to get the respect. So I had to go back, find a way to get there, play my heart out. And, I went out there and executed my plays, made the plays I supposed to make, and I'm right there.
In the meantime, you and your family went to Disney World while you were in Orlando. How'd that go? And what were your favorite rides?
Oh, man, it was good. The Hulk was a great ride. Went to Universal. Then so we went to Disney. Had a lot of kiddie rides, man. I had to do it for the kids then. So it was kind of rough for me to get on them rides. But everything else was smooth, though.
You always do it for the kids, man. It's always for the kids. You got to. Last year, you took your fellow Lions DBs on a trip to Cabo.
Yep.
How about that trip? What was the thinking behind that trip? How'd that go?
Man, you know, like I show my appreciation to my guys. I got a great group of guys. They helped me get to where I'm at. You know, without guys like Quandre Diggs, Glover Quinn, Tavon, some of my older guys that kind of guided me back there in the safety area and calling out routes, calling out plays, making me a smarter player. So I feel like I deserve as much credit as they do. So I just took them on a trip with me, paying for it, had fun, had a great time. Me and my wife and their wives had a great time.
It's a great gesture. You know they appreciated it.
Oh, yeah.
Quinn's one of my favorite guys in the league. He's tremendous. What's he like to play alongside? How much have you learned from him?
Man, I've been learning a lot from him. He's been my locker mate going on 6 years. Man, I couldn't appreciate him more than anything. I look at him as a big brother. He guided me through all my courses through my year. When I was down, he got me up. When I was up, he made sure I stayed level and not too cocky. So he basically like my big brother that like contained me.
Darius Slay is joining us on the show. You know, this is a great story that former Packers wide receiver James Jones, who's now with the NFL Network, said something about his matchups when he played against you. He said when he first came in, he felt that he had the edge. Quote, "We played Detroit and we were like, yeah, Darius Slay's on us. Then the next year we were like, please don't come on me. He just turned into that player, man." End quote. I mean, is that how it felt to you? Did it all just kind of click in and did you become that player?
Yeah, man. I'm going against guys like Aaron Rodgers that like to pick on guys that's, you know, giving up plays. I was getting targeted a lot with me on him. So I know with that doing happen, I had stepped my game up, got better in all season, worked on my technique, and became a great guy at the corner position.
What is that? If you got a guy like that who's picking on you, man, he's singling you out. I mean, does that cause you to doubt yourself or that just turn into fuel? What do you do with that?
I turn into the fuel. I like it. You know, I like competition. I like going after it. Definitely going to get some of the top guys in this game. And that's what made me to the guy I am today, one of the top corners.
Now, you are one of the top corners right now. So when that happens, all of a sudden they don't try you anymore. But maybe they forget, right? Earlier this year against the Cowboys, they were coming at you early, right? They were coming at you early, and it wasn't working out too well. You know Dak a little bit. What did you say to him?
I told him I don't know why he tried me like we weren't doing this in practice at Mississippi State. Like, he don't know my game. Like, he don't know I'm about that action. But I liked it, though, man. You know, Dak is a competitor. I knew he was going to try me a lot just because, you know, brothers. But they ain't turned out too good for him. But they got the dub, though, so that's the really most important thing.
They did, but that's what you said to him. Like, come on, man. You don't remember how it was in practice, Dak?
Yeah, that's what I told him.
And then what did he say to that?
He said, I got to try you, Slay. I said, nah, you don't.
It wasn't just Dak, though. Somebody on the sideline yelled, we're going at you all day. You said they yelled that. Well, like I'm some kind of slouch out there, right?
Right. It was a guy that was on their sideline wearing a little jumpsuit. They said, we're going at you all day, 23. So I'm looking like, man, you ain't even dressing up, man. You can't talk to me right now. I said, well, you keep coming over here, it's going to be bad for you. That's all it was, and it was bad for him.
So one last part you left out, too. What you said was, I ain't no slouch. Bleep, I'm a gangster.
Yeah, I'm out there playing. So I told him, like, hey, y'all ain't trying me out here like I'm trying to Rudy Poop, like I'm just slouchy. Nah, I'm a top guy here, so y'all better stop playing with me like that.
That's what I'm saying. Darius Slay is in our house. That's exactly what I'm talking about. They change up their plan. They avoid you the rest of the way. But it does seem like every so often you got to remind people, right? Yeah, every once in a while you got to remind people, I'm not a slouch, man. You're dealing with a gangster here. Darius Slay is a gangster.
Yes. I'm on now.
All right, so Packers wide receiver Devontae Adams says he likes going up against you because he knows it's a challenge. He knows it's going to make him better. Who are the guys that you like going up against, guys that you know are going to make you better?
For sure, Devontae, Thielen, Diggs, definitely guys in my division. Them guys are real tough to guard. Julio, for sure, Odell. I only went against HB twice, but guys I've seen a lot repeatedly been like Odell. That's in my conference. So
who's the bigger challenge at this point, the big physical guys or the speed guys?
Right now it's more like the shifty guys like Devontae Adams, guy that like got a ball in his hand playing basketball, like AI.
Right.
That's why I call him Baby AI in the football league.
Right.
He's a great guy off the ball, great guy off the release. I don't know how to get open and get creature.
What kind of problems does Antonio Brown present when you try to match up with him?
Oh, big problems. A guy that's very targeted a lot. and can make any catch he wants to, you know, and got the free lad to do whatever. So he's a talented guy, man, amongst the top guys in this league, and he makes all the catches, you know, and runs all the routes.
Darius Slay joins me. Now, when you came out of Mississippi State, you spent some time with Rod Woodson at his home for a few days. This guy was unbelievable. How did that come to be, and what was that time like?
It was great. It came in to be like we had the same agent, Eugene Parker, rest in peace. But he hooked me up with him. I like, man, Rod Woodson? I get to go work out with Rod Woodson? So I was shocked, nervous. First flight there, I'm trying to see how I'm going to talk to him. I'm only but 21 years old, going to meet a Hall of Famer. So, man, we're going there. He was pretty cool, pretty smooth. Taught me some techniques, watched a lot of film together, man. It was fun, man. Great experience. I got close with him and his family, and I went the second year after that. And I just stopped going probably like 3 years ago.
Darius Slay joining us. You got nothing to learn anymore? You got it all now?
No, I'm always looking to learn. Definitely one of the Hall of Famers.
I know it, dude. I know for sure. Listen, you're killing it right now, but it was not always like that, right? As an example, transitioning from college to the NFL, that's not easy. What do you remember about the first season? What was that like?
Ooh, it was rough for me. I got benched twice my first year as a starter. First two games, gave up a dig and go. I got benched that play. Then I started the following week against Arizona, and the running back caught a wheel route and scored. And they benched for that game, and then next thing you know, I was just playing just a little bit of nickel. But it was rough, my rookie. They'll try to blow my confidence, but I won't let them do it.
No, because you're a gangster.
Got to.
I got to know before you go. In 2016, the team offered you a four-year, $50 million-plus extension. Growing up in Brunswick, Georgia, dude, what was that moment like for you?
Oh, it was an amazing moment. A life-changer. Life-changer for my kids, my family, my mom, my dad. Like, little old town like me, there's only about two of us at that time. Well, three of us, Adam Wainwright, Kwame Brown, and me. So it was good, man. Like I said, it was a blessing that the Ford family gave me, and I'm appreciative of it.
How do you like the D? For instance, I mean, those fans want it so badly. I don't care what anybody says. That's a great football town.
It's
a team that has not had a lot of success, unfortunately, but that is a great football town.
Man, it is. It's very, very intense. They want to win just as bad as we do. They go let you know they want to win, and you know they're great to us. And, you know, anytime you walk around, you know they show a lot of love, a lot of fans. You know, I sign a lot of stuff for everybody. They're a good atmosphere, but like they said, they deserve to win. See if we can win the team. We're trying to give it to them.
He's an All-Pro. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler, and he's the guy who's going to close out our entire week on Radio Row. Darius, fact, we've been trying to get you on, man. I'm so glad to finally see you and get you on the program. Nice to meet you. Good to have you.
Hey, thank you for
that
having
fun,
me.
Dude.
Everything, man.
Yep, thank you.
That was great. Man, let me tell you something. My man is no slouch. Don't come at him like that. Don't come at him like that.
No.
He's a gangster. Come on now. Good job, Darius. We're wrapping things up. Huge call today. On the Row is brought to you by Masterbuilt. The Masterbuilt Smoker. It actually went to Leslie in Minnesota. She was the ATP. She asked me, am I getting nervous about having to do my views from Rome in front of 100 million people. No, I'm not. Or at least I wasn't until you brought that up. Now, we actually had our production meeting this morning. Dave Whalen and I attended the first 15 or 20 minutes of it. Then I bounced over here. We're going to rehearse tomorrow at the stadium. And then the big show is on Sunday. And I've got a few takes. I've got a take on the Pats. I've got a take on the Rams. I've got a prediction for the game. Big game weekend. Do not spend game day babysitting the grill. Get a Masterbuilt smoker. Let the smoker do all the work. You'll love how simple it is to produce award-worthy grub every single time. Masterbuilt smokers available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For tips, recipes, and more, visit Masterbuilt.com. Again, thanks to everybody here on location in Atlanta. The crew, the staff did an absolutely amazing job. Dave Whalen was a monster. The bookers did a great job. And the XR4TI back home. Have a great Super Bowl weekend. I will see you Sunday or Monday. We're out.